This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, we have come this evening to know the riches of His glory, to receive strategy for the days to come, to learn at His feet what to do in the seasons to come. This is why we have gathered, Lord. This is what you said is happening today. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please be seated. Thank you. Be seated. All right. As I was preparing for this hour, the Lord taught me something that I believe and I know is going to be pivotal to all of us going forward after this retreat. The scripture He taught me from the book of Genesis chapter 26. Now I'm going to retell the story. But no matter how I tell the story, know that I'm telling you the story of Genesis 26. And the reason I'm retelling this story is so that nobody would lack the ability to deduce. We would know what I'm talking to and what I'm talking about. So from the book of Genesis chapter 12, God told us about Abraham and His walk with Abraham. By the book, we saw that the uniqueness of God's walk with Abraham made Him establish many altars and establish many locations where He lived. Because Abraham was a nomad. He moves around with his flock. Whenever he gets to a new location, he would have to build a well for his animals to have water. He would also use the same well for irrigation purposes. And so whenever he had done that, maybe he spent a year or two there, Abraham would move again. And so some of the places where Abraham stayed in his journey, Esek, E-S-E-K, Sitna, all those places, the Bible did not really tell us the stories of their origin because they were just part of his normal nomadic life. However, after Abraham had left, the Bible said his son Isaac was given the bulk of his inheritance. Now, it is typical for sons to want to follow in the footsteps of their fathers. We all always move from the known to the unknown. As I speak with us today, there are certain things that before we came for the retreat, we know. And some of us, we are so comfortable in the things we know that we do not accommodate the things that we don't know. For example, in business, I remember a few years ago when the concept of cryptocurrency first came to the fore, I was one of those who said, do you know the meaning of crypt? Where they bury the dead. Crypt. Where they bury the dead. Then I said currency came from where they bury the dead. You are not saying we should come and be spending it. Ah, no. Crypto, currency. That was my interpretation of it. Yeah, I kid you not. I didn't have interpretation in secret. I said it in the open for everybody to hear that I don't know this money that you people are spending from the grave. I don't know where it is coming from. However, upon further reflection on scripture, I realized that the grave has no power over a Christian. That the grave has no power. The Bible says the grave could not hold him. Death could not hold him. He broke it. He said, oh, death, where is that sting? Oh, grave, where is that victory? So then when I came to that realization, I said, hey, GSW, this is your belief system. You have to rethink it. It was unknown, and therefore I questioned it. Later, they came with something called meta. That also gave me a problem. Because when they said meta, I said, let me go and check all this meta. What is the other meanings? Among the other meanings that I saw for meta was something extremely negative relating to darkness. I said, these people are carrying us to where we don't know. And they are using system to use all these words that they are coming up with. What is script? What is meta? However, he has given us all power to be the light in darkness. In fact, I say it with all confidence that if you are going to really prove the power of Jesus Christ, it is in darkness that it is best proved. It is not in the light. It was unknown, and I questioned it. What were the things that we know? We know medicine. We know law. We know commerce. We know business. Are you with me? And these are the things my fathers knew. I'm very sure my father in this grave doesn't know anything called crypto, anything. You'll be wondering, what's that? Because in his whole lifetime, there was nothing like that. All these things are new inventions. However, that it is new does not mean it is a taboo. Are we together? Aha. But how did Isaac handle the changes of his own time? The Bible recorded that first, he wanted to follow the pattern of his father and go to Egypt. How many of us will remember that Abraham went to Egypt when there was famine? So the Bible said Isaac also wanted to do the same when there was famine, because that was what his father did. Then God came to him and God said, no, don't go anywhere. Stay where you are and I will prosper you there. So therefore, he decided he was going to stay, and he stayed. The Bible recorded that because he stayed, he began to prosper.
So much so that all around him was reaping a hundredfold of
everything he was planting. Now, automatically, when you begin to prosper, maybe in your place of work now, in your career, in your offices, in your business, one of the things that then naturally happens is envy. Are we together? Yeah. Even in church, people begin to say, is she the only one? Why is attention so much on, there are other people too. I can also lead prayer, must it be him? Yes, all of us have received the same spirit. Why are you focusing on one person? It is a natural reaction of ambition. Praise the Lord. And every destiny must speak. What did I say? God forbid that your destiny is quiet. When all of you are in a confined space, looking to rise, naturally, the person that is quiet is the one that will be forgotten. Every destiny must do what? Must speak. Which is why when you gather people together and you are raising them, and all of them are flying, there is natural friction that must happen. You have one stage. You have one car. You have five sons. All of them learn driving at the same time. Know that there will be fights. Because this one wants to take car today. He said, I'll be firstborn. If we take it, he will not bring it back till tomorrow. The other four will be like, okay, maybe you will come back. He drops the car like this, another one has picked it. So naturally, there will be friction. It is natural. And all of them have equal right to the car. So you cannot say, you don't drive. You drive. Whoever has the key is the captain of the day. And the same speaks to destinies. When we are before the Lord, we worship in freedom. When we interact with the world in business, in our work, we enter into a world of competition. And without competition, there is no thriving. Are we together? Yeah. Otherwise, all of us will just surrender to one person and say, okay, you are the best among us, so only you carry go. All of us will sit down and will be failures. Who likes that? Nobody. Nobody. So therefore, every destiny must speak. No destiny must be allowed to sit. In fact, as a parent, you must encourage everybody to have a voice. But if they all have a voice, you deal with another level of challenges, which is friction. The friction then is that the more the noise they make, the less you can sleep. Are we together? So in the case of Jacob, in the case of Isaac rather, after God told him to stay, and he stayed and he began to prosper, the Bible said, the king of that land, because Abraham did not own land. He is a nomad. He was a nomad. So his son also was a nomad. So where they were at Gerar, the king saw how prosperous this young man is. And then the king came to him one day, and the king said, we don't want to accommodate you here again. Leave. So you realize that the source of the water that made him prosper times 200, that man was deliberately chasing him away from it. Do you get that? Let me say that again. There was famine in the land. And then the Bible said he sowed and he reaped 200-fold. How was he getting increase on his farm? Water. Where was the water coming from? From the well that he had dug there that didn't dry up in the time of farming. So those people decided that, okay, we now know that this guy is using the water for irrigation, and that's why he's prospering. So if we chase him away from this well, he will no longer have water. If he does not have water, then he too will experience famine like every other person. And because he's not the owner of the land, they decided that it's time for him to go. So then they came to him and they said, you are now too big for us. You have become fat. You have increased everywhere. Leave. And so they chased him away from his source of water. And so the scriptures described that when he left, he didn't know where to go, which was the mistake he made. Now, let me tell you, all of us here, it is natural for us to follow known paths. So when he left there, the next place he went was Esek, the land where his father dug a well before. He now said, they are chasing me away from Gerar. Where do I go? My father had a well at Esek. let me go to Esek. So he went to Esek. Don't forget, it was the one that God gave the word that, don't go to Egypt, I will prosper you. Which means, if he dug a well anywhere, there will be water. Did you hear me? Are you listening to me? He has received the word from God that, son, you will prosper here. Stay in this land and prosper. So the word of prosperity is on him. But his own thinking did not make him see that he could actually go to a neutral land and get water from there. He didn't think like that. He now thought, oh, my father went to this place. So he went back to his father's old well. The Bible said when he got to Esek, he dug and he did what? He found water. As soon as he found water, what did the people there do? They chased him away again. He said, you cannot stay. Then again he said, oh, my father has a place at Sitna. Let me go to where Abraham went to Sitna and dig up the well again. Again he went to Sitna. Again he dug a well. They waited. As soon as, because they will dig, they don't find water. But when he digs, water will respond. Don't forget, that was where he got the secret of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, which he later passed on to Jacob. The Bible said, he told his son, I have given you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. I've given you corn and wine. So that was the secret. That was also the secret that Joseph took to Egypt that made them conquer famine. This was how he conquered famine forever. Because God gave him a word that, hey, stay. Where you stay, you prosper there. So the mistake he made was that he entered into this business because his father did it. As soon as he was doing well, the owners of the territory, they came, plotted against him, chased him away. He didn't think that he could go into another area. He had to go again to another old area of his father. So the Bible recorded he went to four different places, and in all the four places, they conspired and chased him away. So it then occurred to him that I can actually dig a neutral well, because the old wells prospered. Therefore, people stayed around and they purchased me. Now, if I dig a well where nobody has been before, nobody has the power to chase me there. So he went to this place and he dug a well. And the Bible said they found water. And as soon as they found water, he said, this is where Hobot. God has given me space. In your business, in your career, when you begin to grow and opposition begins to form left, right, and center, some of us take it as a negative sign. I don't. If they don't envy you, you are not prospering. It is only those who don't prosper that people don't envy. That's the truth. Envy is a natural response to prosperity, especially when the prosperity is not divided equally. All of you are earning the same amount. And without doing anything shady, you notice that he's building houses, he's buying cars. First, you will say, he's collecting bribe. Then you will check, there's no bribe. Then you will say, he must have done one ritual or the other. Then you check, it is not so. Then you say, he must have inherited money from his father or his mother. Then you check, it is not so. Then you say, okay, he's doing something that all of us don't know, so let him be going. We don't want him around. It is a natural response to prosperity. And so Christians must be envied. If you look at scripture, Daniel was seriously envied because he prospered. If you are not envied, it means you are not prospering enough. But when people envy Christians, Christians have two responses. Number one is to try to fight for their right to be in that establishment and kill all those who are trying to disturb their peace of mind. So it is like, Father, kill anybody that trouble me. Trouble those who trouble me. Put pepper in the eyes of those who are putting pepper in my eyes. Anybody that says I will not sleep, Father, take away their sleep. Father, anybody that right now is plotting against me, Father, plot against them. Holy Spirit, anybody that says that in this company I will not reap the fruit of their labor, let them die before tomorrow. You see? So that's an option. That's an option. And that option is not negative. It's not. It is a natural reaction. Because you will have sown so much, invested so much in a place. And when it is now time for you to reap the dividends, that's when some people will come with an attack. All the years when there are no, people will keep quiet. That's natural. When there is nothing, people keep quiet. However, there's a second reaction. And that reaction is to look at it and say, okay, I'm actually bigger than them here now. Are you with me? Is to look to the left and look to the right and say, it's true. I'm actually, all of us are on the same level. But to be candid, I shouldn't be flying at this level anymore. It is time for me to take a step of faith and establish my own. Are we together? Ah. It is time. It is time to venture out. It is time to take a step of faith and move on. I'm actually bigger than this office. Now, I was working in one office one time, and I realized, 2019, and I realized that, to be candid, as at November 2019, I can pay all the staff salary, and I will not have paid. No, not that I can. I was paying all the staff salary, because all of them were good to me in my time of trouble. So when God began to bless me, I told all of them, I told Pastor Rakom, what is the salary, whatever, of this company? They brought it to me. And I said, I'll pay you guys what you are earning in this company. I'll pay all of you every month. And they allowed me to stay in their company. They give me peace. I was able to do the work of ministry. And all of them turned away. I did it for almost a year. Until one day I said, enough. I've pampered you people enough. I'm leaving. But that is the point. The point is, even at that time, the reason I did that was because I was thinking, God knows. I said, if I now leave this place now, where am I going? Why? I said, will I go and open a shop and put GSW Miracle Center? It's true. Because that place, they had an office, and then they had a church in the compound. So when people come for ministrations, it looks respectable. When people come, they will see a church, they will see office. It was more befitting. But if I leave, you know, there is no GSW or anything at that time. So if I now leave, will they be coming to my sitting room? Because I was thinking, okay, where do I take them to? Okay, will I go and rent a church? So I said, maybe I should go and get an office. I said, okay, if I get an office, what will be the name? I said, GSW Spiritual Consultation Center. You know, I did. So without the structure of the church and building, I didn't think I would make any progress. So for that reason, I said, okay, what is disturbing you people? They said, we employed you here as a PA. But what you are doing here is not PA work. People are coming for prayer. You will be in church, you will be missing for morning tonight. Is that what we employed you for? So I said, okay. Is that the problem? They said, yes. Okay, don't worry. I will be taking care of all of you. Take care of all of you. Just make sure that when Ogapanawata ask of me, you cover me. All of them say, we will cover you. I say, amen. So I continued. So normally, I should resume for work at 9. I would then go to the office like 10, 11. And then I would, instead of going to the office, I would go to the church, minister to the people waiting for me. And then by 2, I've closed, I'm going home. All of them know that if anybody asks of me, they will say, he went to this place. He went to that place. So again, I was working a deal with them because I couldn't see far. Are you with me? I didn't have the boldness to say, I'm now bigger than this place. I should move. Which was the same thing that happened to Isaac. He couldn't see himself as CEO of a company. The security of salary was very important. Money is coming in every month. He does not have to look for money for fuel for Jen. Does not have to think of office space. Does not have to make redacted paper. Does not have to deal with CAC. Does not have to pay staff at the end of the month. He just sits down, collects whatever comes, and is fine. But at that point, it was already bigger than that place. Praise the Lord. And when you are bigger than a place, you are just going to make life difficult for every other person. Have you ever entered a bus with somebody that is very big before? All of you are supposed to sit at the back, four. And then the person is very big, and three of you, we have to now shrink to one side. Instead of the person to now say, okay, I'm paying for the whole seat. The person too will say, I'm one person, I'm paying for. And then you see people doing shift. She's bigger than that place, but she didn't want to acknowledge it. Praise the Lord. Because if she acknowledged it, she will sit down there and say, oh, I'm paying for two, or I'm paying for three. And that will give everybody rest. So sometimes we grow bigger. By the grace of God, we grow bigger than where we are. But our eyes remain so small. And so we wouldn't venture forth into the next level that can accommodate our space. It's like having a lot of plants in the nursery. And after some time, they are growing. You know for sure that the nursery is not your final destination. A day will come, they will have to carry you from that nursery and plant you in the field where you belong. So then say, this nursery is so nice. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. It's to stop your own growth. It is important for us in this season of dominion to remember that we have our own source of water. And that wherever the water flows, life comes. In fact, when I was studying in the university and we were studying settlement patterns, one of the key ingredients of a settlement pattern is the presence of a river. Where a river is, people will build villages around it. People would want to do work of fishing. They do canoe business. Before you know it, that becomes a community. So a confluence of water is very good for business. But the Bible told us in Ezekiel 47 that he has given us a river that flows right out of the temple of God. And that river is a river that is willing and ready to expand us. So I want you to shift your focus in this season. If you are walking somewhere and you have become too big for that place, you should sit down and say, hey, let me re-strategize. In 6 months' time, I want to be out of this place. I want to start my own. Are we together? Yeah. I was having a discussion with a minstrel earlier, and I was stylishly asking her how she was able to cope with the pressure that comes with people growing together, advancing at the same level, how to stand out in the middle of them without ruffling feathers. It is impossible. There has to be competition because all destinies must speak. And so what you would then need as a person is to say, okay, I know surely that I have a source in Zion that cannot dry. And I know surely that I have within me the power to overcome the world. What do I need to start? What do I need? That is the default of a dominion thinker, a dominion mindset. It is not to be subservient. It is to lead. Why? All of us here are leaders according to the word of God. Is that true? However, some of us here, the people we will lead are not even born again yet. Are you with me? The people we will lead, the glories we will lead, the people that God has called to our ministry to walk with us, some of them are flung all over the world. But this is a training house. A training place where we get trained for tomorrow. So when you are done with your training, it is expected that you then go out and seek for the people that will walk with you to advance the cause of the kingdom. So Jesus did this as an example in the scriptures when he told the disciples, he took 70 of them, divided them into 35 places, two by two, and then he sent the 70 out to 35 locations in Israel. You see, every time I read that scripture, it teaches me a lot about Jesus and his ability to teach us things in subtle ways. So imagine, I believe we are up to 70 here, that I pair us two by two here, and I said to two, go to Awe, two, go to Oyo, two, go to Akimori, two, go to Fiditi, two, go to Akoda, and I set us two by two like that. And then I said to us, I said, in 3 days' time, meet me at Awe High School field. I will be waiting for you there. The disciples went two by two to 35 locations. When they were done for 3 days, when they were done and they were coming back, all the people in those villages followed them. It's in your Bible. Why? Because of the miracles, signs, and wonders that they did. When they said, oh, bye-bye, we are going. Say, where are you going? We are going back to our master. We are following you. We want to see who your master is. That was how the Bible recorded that Jesus was waiting for them, and when they arrived with almost 20,000 people. A crowd followed them. Jesus did not go to the crowd. The disciples brought the crowd to Jesus. So when they arrived, Jesus saw the crowd, and they said, this is our master. The Bible said Jesus Christ began to teach the crowd, taught them for 3 days. Now, some people wonder how people can listen to a teaching for 3 days, and it was on the third day that they remember that they were hungry. So just has that effect on people. When you begin to hear him speak, time is suspended. Because he speaks to the spirit of those he speaks to, not to their head. And so on the third day, they began to feel the effect of their flesh for the first time, that they were hungry. And then the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, our people are hungry. Then Jesus will reply, Jesus Christ said, give them food. You notice that because it wasn't the one that went to them, they were the people of the disciples. Do you get that? They were the people of who? It was disciples they followed to him. So when they came to him asking for food, he said, go and feed. They followed you here, right? Feed them. Then they said, Master, even if we have the resources, which we don't have, but let's say we have the money, how long do you think it will take to prepare food for all these people? Even if we go and buy, how many bakeries would we empty out? So just guys looked at them and was like, okay, I will not feed your people for you. You will feed your people, but find me the resources. Who has anything here? So then one of them came and he said, oh, there's a boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. So Jesus said, oh, these are the resources you have. No problem. Then Jesus Christ took the resources. The Bible said he lifted it up, blessed it, broke it. Who did he give it to? So that they can feed their people. And the disciples also broke it. It continued to multiply. They were not giving them whole fishes. They were giving them broken fishes. Are we together? Broken. And the more they broke, the more it multiplied. The more there was available to break. So the more they break, the more it was breaking. The more they break, the more it was breaking. That was how they were able to feed everybody. And after feeding everybody, according to scripture, they had 12 baskets left, each representing the called disciples. Showing each disciple that as long as you do the work the right way, there will be more than enough. And the symbolism was clear. So I speak to us, I charge us. You are used to one business line. It is what you have always known. The grace to prosper in that business is not tied to that business. It's tied to who? To you. Did you hear me? The grace to prosper is not in the business. It is in the vessel. If Jesus did carpentry, he will prosper in carpentry. Jesus did fisherman. Maybe you saw him, how he multiplied fish in the river one time. He told Peter, cast into the deep, and the fish came out of nowhere. So if Jesus was a fisherman, not only him could they supply all the fish, everybody could they eat every day. The fish would just be responding to him anyhow. You see? If Jesus did any other thing, he will prosper in anything he lay his hands upon. That is important to know. So some of us said, oh, this is what I said, there is nothing you lay your hand upon that will not prosper. Nothing. However, you must be willing to say to yourself, these are known parts. Lord, what other option do I have apart from what I know? Are we together? Yes. Because many of us, we have gotten to a point in our businesses and career that the thing has peaked. And what will come after peaking is diminishing return. Are you with me? But some of us do not pay attention to that thing. Somebody was supplying a university t-shirt. They usually buy from him every year. But it can only last while you know people there. When everybody graduates, finish. There will be a time when they will not know your Joseph again. And they will go with another person that can supply the same thing. Are you with me? So you cannot make your when I was in the university, I used to make a lot of money on t-shirts every end of the year for this department. Did it this year, did it next year, did it next year. The year will come, they say, we want to go with somebody else. Within that time frame that you have harnessed, that you have worked with them, if you have developed other avenues, you would not be static on that particular point of business. You would venture forward and venture outward. The same applies to every one of us, especially when it comes to businesses and thriving. The anointing to prosper is on you. I didn't say anointing is on somebody else. Go and carry your money and give him to invest for you. Did you hear me? Did you hear me well? Yeah. Because a lot of Christians do that. They are working. They will make money. And then somebody will come to them with one sweet mouth. They are not sure the person has any anointing. But the person says, if you give me, I remember somebody brought me a proposal saying that they invest in oil and gas, stock, everything, agriculture, as only you people. You are investing in everything altogether. Like, there is no escape for me. If I say, I want to invest in water, you are investing in water. If I say, I want to invest in land, you say, you are doing land. I say, I want to buy a house, you say, you are doing real estate. You are also doing oil and gas. And they did this book, you had deposited to me. And I said, you people are 419. There is no company in the world that is investing in everything. I know. This one is scam. And they were like, no, it's not scam. Of course, a lot of pastors I was working with at the time, they invested. And then the man carried their money and traveled to a country where there is no extradition. And when I heard it, don't laugh too much. Some of them, two of them were in the fellowship, so they may be watching. Sorry. I didn't mean to say that. It just came out. Sorry. Because at the time, when they came to me, I said, but I'm going to we invested with these people. I said, ah, you too? I said, yes. I said, why? He said, he was giving some returns. I said, ah, no, bad idea. The anointing is not on them. The anointing is on who? The anointing is on who? Whatsoever who does, I do not mortgage it out. Mm-mm. When I begin to prosper in my own business, people will then bring their resources. Do you see now? People will then say, Brabenga, we want to do this. We can see that you are a resourceful, diligent, upright, upstanding, you are a good Christian, we can trust you. And then you two will now say, okay, these are my terms. Are you with me? Because whatsoever you do, you prosper. So the lazy way out is to say, let me just carry on my savings. I want to be a sleeping partner. I will not give my money to Ajimaja somewhere. I will not be able to sleep. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to be a sleeping partner. Sleeping partner that cannot sleep. It's true. So every day you get checking the phone. Or you call him. Hello? Have they paid you that dividend? They said it's delayed for 2 days. Shakatapara. Hey, get the peke. My money will not enter the forest. Where I left, I said, the Lord said unto me that cankerworm cannot cankerworm me. That papa, you see, it is you. When you give what is rightfully yours to somebody that does not have the grace to make it prosper, then you lose your sleep. Imagine that it is you that everybody bought the money to, and you are faithful. Will you not be sleeping? Surely you'll be sleeping. The young man around me started a business, good business, was making bad money, and it was legit innovation. Legitimate. He noticed that in Lagos, estates were developing, and that these estates usually do not come with a transportation system. So he said, people will walk hours. And most of the estates banned Okada, that's motorcycle. So therefore, if you get to the main gate of the estate, you will have to walk or somebody will have to come and pick you. So he went to the estate and he did a deal with them. I will bring tricycles to your estate. I will maintain the tricycles so that they don't become dilapidated. And I will charge people this amount. And first estate he did, my God, 100% returns. He bought 10 tricycles. At the end of 3 months, he had another 10. His own money. Then he turned it into a business model. Went to other estates to negotiate the same thing, using his own first estate as example. That I was one that did it at estate A. Can I also do it in estate B, C, D, E? And people said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And then he told the public, invest with me. See this growth model. I will just buy the tricycle, and then I will do this, I will do that. And people did not calculate that tricycles are not that many in Nigeria to for sale. Are you listening? Because he bought 10, does not mean he can buy 3,000. So people are giving him money to buy a tricycle. When it got to the people there is a shack first in the factory. They said they don't even have 50 on guard to sell to him. Went to the second place, they said they don't even have 30 on guard to sell to, and they have collected money for over 3,000. So he had money in the bank, but no tricycle to send to those estates. Are you with me? And he had promised people that at the end of this month, you are going to begin to get returns. Now, the honest thing for him to do will be to call those people and say to them, see, we couldn't get tricycles. However, we have ordered. We will give you social amount. Please give us extension of 3 months. Do you understand? That would be the faithful thing to do. So this guy had almost ₦1 billion in his account and nowhere to buy tricycle. So then somebody came to him and said, my friend, you have money like this lying down. Forex, you will triple it in one day. You can never lose. Because the market will go up, down, up, down. So when it goes up, you just cash out. Cash out. When it is down, you wait, you wait, you wait. When it goes up, you just cash out. I'm telling you, a honest Christian boy who had a good heart, who God has given the spirit of prosperity, but somebody from nowhere came and sweet talked him into releasing ₦1 billion. Do you know what? He lost all the money. He had to run away from Nigeria. Till now. And it's not the only case I know. I know another case. That one committed suicide in Ibadan. Left Lagos, shot himself at Ibadan. Because of debt. Because he had collected money from so many people. And now the money is gone. So the second one left Ibadan, Lagos, ran to Ibadan to hide. And after 2 weeks, when people are calling him, arresting his wife, he just shot himself. That also happened to a Christian. I can name the church. I can name the area. The first one we've not found. The second one dead. Simply because the grace to prosper was on him. But wisdom to manage prosperity was not available. Whatsoever who does shall prosper. Who? Don't forget, it is you. It's you. So therefore, when you begin to prosper, people then say to you, we want to invest with you. They must bring, the Bible says, your sons and daughters shall come from afar. That was scripture. He said, they shall bring unto you the gold of Ophel. He didn't say you shall give to them. He said, they shall bring to you the gold of Ophel. He said, they will bring to you treasures from foreign places. Said, queens shall be your nursing mother, and kings shall be your royal fathers. It is because of the grace of you. If anybody wants to be sleeping partner, you are the one they should trust with their money. If people trust my brother with their money, I say, I will sleep. If people trust him with money, I say, I will sleep. Why? Because I am a sleeping partner, I sleep. Yes, I sleep well. But if he then tells me, boss, I need your counsel. There are these Chinese people. Let me tell you something that happened to us. Myself and my wife, when we were at Poland, I'm telling you, that boy will not know that he has destroyed the reputation of all the Chinese people in the world to me. Going forward, if I see Chinese, I know they trust them. They are 419, four stars. I'm saying it on TV. All Chinese people are four stars. It is because of the one I dealt with. Therefore, all of them are four stars. Because I'm telling you, we went to a park. We took a walk in Poland Central, whatever. When we were going, we took a taxi of 40 or 50 zloty. Just a small amount. It was like 30 minutes drive. this guy was going to take us back, his taxi was supposed to have a meter. When we will see the amount we are paying, the guy didn't put on the meter. It wasn't Uber. It wasn't what have you. It's a taxi standing there. So we took a taxi. Then the trip took us maybe 45 minutes to get to our hotel. And when we got to our hotel, he brought out his telephone. And then he said, this is the amount. And he quoted 560 zloty. I said, well, I'm not flying. Do you know what 560 zloty is? It's almost 400 or 350 euros for 45 minutes drive. That's ticket money to travel from one country to the other in Europe. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's traffic at this time. And he started pretending as if he doesn't understand English. He started speaking. So I looked at him. I said, you don't know me. You don't know me. If you collect my money, when you are sleeping, your spirit will be walking. I'll tell you before God, I know me. I know me. I know me. I know me. You may not know. I know me. I told my wife, I said, see, this guy is thinking he's smart. Because I gave him 600. I said, okay. I said, don't argue with him. I gave him 600. I said, you should give me change. He went to look for change, he couldn't find. Then he came back and he gave me 100 back and he said, discount. Said discount. And then he gave me, and then I just left his car. I never didn't look back. I was determined that I was going to deal with this guy. Yeah, I will teach you a lesson that your forefathers will know. Ask my wife. Every week since we came back from Europe, every week before God, £2,500 added to my account consistently. Every week. It is that guy paying it. Oh, my son, he will pay it until I say enough. She's here. I can show you the evidence on my phone. I will show every time it happens. I say, come and see. I say, come and see. 2,500. I'm collecting times five per week. Ask her. Hey, Chanel. Chanel. I'm telling you, I can tell her to bring my phone. It's on my phone. 2005 every week. Don't I tell money? Come and see. My wife will say, ah. I say, ah. Next week, I didn't. Come and see. 2005 every week in dollars. The collector is 500 zloty. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. I will never take anything that does not belong to me. But if they burn your papa where? Yeah. If it's sure for you. That's why I went on Twitter that day. They said they did somebody. I said that. Come and try it with me. I will deliver your sorrow. I will sleep and you will be paying. You cannot take from me. The grace to prosper is on me. The grace to prosper is on me. It's on me. It's on me. I'm telling you. So those who bless me shall be blessed. And those who cheat me, I shall equally take from them. It is my right. And therefore, it is important that you switch your focus to this mindset. That if you begin to prosper in your own venture, then men and women will bring to you, knowing that you are the trustworthy one. You shouldn't be the one saying, I want to give to... Are you listening to me? They must bring to you. You must be the one. You must be the collector. You must be the distributor. You must be the one they bring to. You must be the one that people can give to and they will go and sleep. Because you have the character to dispense and to deal with it. But if somebody tells you, I will double your money. But the person does not have the character. If you give the person your money, you will not sleep. But if they give a good Christian their money, people know that the Christian would stake his reputation and deliver on all dividends without question. Why? Because he is a believer and he knows that he must do what is right. And that is why believers must be the ones that must have the mindset to start a venture and then allow people to bring in the money. Are we together? Please stand to your feet. I want you to raise your two hands. The word of God has come to you expressly. And the word of God has said that the grace to prosper is on you. You are the one that has the power to turn a dry place into a place where there will be 200-fold increase. You are the one that has the grace to turn a dry land into a fruitful vine. So begin to declare it upon your businesses with your hands lifted. Declare it. That all my business flourishes. All my ventures flourishes. The God from afar comes into my business and it prospers. The blessing of the Lord is upon me. I am the river that flows. And everywhere I flow to prospers. I am a channel of blessing, a conduit of his glory. Declare it loud and clear. Mention your businesses by name. Mention them by name. Declare that the ones you don't see yet, your eyes are open to see them. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Your words are spirit and they are life. The grace to prosper is upon you. The grace to prosper is upon you. Thank you, Father.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.